This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Know that. Good old Blue Chanel. One hit wonder, but a great song. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, singing along with my partner, Big Ed Davis. We thank you for joining us. It is Friday, April the 21st, and boy, the month is flying by, is it not? In a few minutes, Myron Ebell of the Competitive Enterprise Institute will be with us. We're going to talk about the debt limit deal, which is being proposed by Republicans in Congress this week. It's a plan that Myron likes because it slices out a bunch of green energy subsidies. He doesn't think much of them. So stay tuned for that. And is the IRS whistleblower, you know, in the Hunter Biden story, is that a game changer right now? A bunch of bigwigs in Washington seem to think so. We are going to take a look. Stay tuned for that. And what is Joe Biden thinking? What is he thinking with his plan to force good credit home buyers to subsidize the bad ones? What's up with that? We're going to examine it. Stay tuned. And in our ultimate top 10, the updated top 10 richest people in the world, according to Forbes magazine. Yeah. Let's see if Ed knows who's number one. Okay, well, a lot is going on. This, you know, the truth just won't go away. I don't care what the media or the Democrats or whatever it is try to stifle, but this whole thing with Hunter Biden and the feeding of, it turns out, not just his father, Joe, but about seven or eight other Biden family members, they're all getting money. It's flowing into their pockets. Senator Lindsey Graham, he's a Republican from South Carolina. He's like an attack dog on this whole thing. He said news of a whistleblower from the IRS is a game changer in this whole saga. And there will be hell to pay, he says, if the Justice Department is showing political bias. Well, this is what this IRS whistleblower is claiming. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill are calling for the Biden administration to be held accountable for blocking Congress and the public from learning more about Biden family members and their dealing with China. The congressional outcries come as a whistleblower alleges an investigation into Biden is being mishandled, into Hunter Biden, is being mishandled. He alleges clear conflicts of interest. So this is the House Committee on Oversight, the chairman, James Comer, a Republican. He says it's deeply concerning that the Biden administration may be obstructing justice, starting with the attorney general, and also over in the FBI, by blocking efforts to charge Hunter for tax violations. You know, that thing's been going on for 5 years. It started in 2018. So this IRS whistleblower, he is seeking protection, whistleblower protection claims. And I think he's trying to do it by the book. Now, his attorney, we don't know the name of the guy, the whistleblower, but we know the attorney. His name is Mark, I think it's Lytle, L-Y-T-L-E. He's been on various talk shows, at least on Fox. I think the other networks are, you know, he's persona non grata. But he's on Fox, and it's a big issue there. He says his client has already made legally protected disclosures internally at the IRS. You know, that's what got the gangster Al Capone. Al Capone in Chicago was getting away literally with murder, but they never caught him for that. They sent him to Alcatraz because of tax violations. And I think that's where maybe Hunter Biden's downfall is going to occur, and the rest of the Bidens that are involved in this. Because you've got to declare the money that you make. And you got to do it honestly and say where it came from. And you got to put it down in writing. And if you start to launder that money, that's where you start falling apart.
And you're spreading it amongst your family members, too.
Oh, yeah.
Which gets them involved.
Did you know some of them apparently are getting direct payoffs? I'm not even sure they're going through Hunter Biden's fingertips first so he can launder it to them. I think there's a bunch of them that are literally in corporations that are getting paid off, especially from China. They're just going right into their accounts. Hmm. It's getting, what's the word, when you just, it's like when
direct deposit.
What? Yeah, but like it's like when Joe takes Hunter to Ireland. It's like it's an in-your-face kind of thing. You know, we don't care what you think. We're going to go ahead and do it. And the public and whatever we're doing, be damned, you know, that kind of thing. Ah, well. We'll see where all of that goes. Here was something kind of interesting. You know, there's no love lost between the Joe Biden administration and Governor Ron DeSantis, right? White House Press Secretary Katrine Jean-Pierre was blasted on social media for calling Florida's education law, quote, dystopian, unquote, and claiming that gay teachers cannot show pictures of their spouses anymore. Apparently, you can show pictures of your spouses even in Florida schools. So where she came up with that.
I have to think, but when I was in school, I believe my teachers had a picture of their spouse on their desk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Many times that was the case. Of course.
They're taking this way too far.
Yeah, but they're saying
this is...
Yeah.
So they're saying a gay couple can't show...
Yes, can't show the other one.
Listen, we're all
educated. It's not true.
It's not about... See, they want to make it that. It's not about that. It's about the things those people want to change. And they want us to go along with it. It's not about showing pictures or about what their sexual preference is. We don't care about that. It's the things that they want to change to fit their lifestyle. Don't care what we've been doing all these years. Now it's got to change.
That's right. Jean-Pierre was up there taking questions. You know, it's always funny. I watch her. You ever notice her...
Well, she's got to stop putting that...
Her eyes are blinking all the time.
You know, and she always puts that gold on her eyelids.
She's got all of that
you think,
makeup all over.
Listen, John Paul Jones, leave that...
John Paul Jones.
Leave that empty there. Don't put anything there, and it will blend in with
her
the
eyelashes
rest.
All the
but
time.
But I know, but if she didn't
then
put anything
she's lying.
On... If you didn't put anything on, well... If she didn't put anything on, you
wouldn't see it
flutter.
As much.
And you notice it because she looks down at the book. And all you see is gold.
You know, in a way, I feel bad for her. She's got a hell of a job to defend the idiot in the White House. She took the job, voluntarily. But so there she is. And prior to answering questions at yesterday's press conference, she addressed the Florida Board of Education's recent expansion of the governor's parental rights and education law from kindergarten through third grade. He's now expanded some of that to all grades in elementary, so it would be like through eighth grade, I guess. This law would prevent school employees from giving instruction on, quote, sexual orientation, unquote, or gender identity unless required by state guidelines or part of optional sexual health instruction. She referred to it as dystopian don't say gay law and claimed that gay teachers have been forced to remove pictures
That's
of
ridiculous.
Their spouses. Anyway, she goes overboard
because,
with all of them.
Because I know we got to get to our guests, but,
yeah,
but there are kids in kindergarten, in first and second grades, that do understand that when they have a gay parent, they might have two dads or two moms or whatever. And that's it. You just leave it at that.
Of course. Absolutely.
But that's what we've done for years. But no, they want to change that. They want specific new laws for this and new bathrooms and all that other crap. So,
right. Probably. Okay, let's take our break real quickly because we have a very patient Myron Ebo we want to talk to. We'll talk with him about the debt limit deal proposed in Congress this week.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Ain't it good
to... This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Here she comes. Hey, we are back on a Friday. So glad to have you with us, and so glad to have back Myron Ebo. He is the Director for Energy and Environment at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and we are going to and asked him to join us to talk about the House Republican debt limit deal. The leadership on Wednesday released the text of their deal, and it's, you know, I think this House Majority Leader, by the way, is getting a lot of kudos. I mean, he kind of started rough, you know, with the way he was elected. But now he's really kind of, I think, what's the word when you find your way? You know, he's kind of found his way there.
Got his groove.
Myron, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure to have you, Myron. And you feel that this debt ceiling package... which includes, by the way, repeal of a lot of these subsidies for green energy, and you think that that is a doggone good idea. Tell us a little bit about your feelings on this debt limit deal.
Well, I think it's very promising. You know, the House Republicans are only they're in a very narrow majority, and they have to deal with a Democratic Senate and a Democratic President. So this is only, you know, the opening of the negotiation over raising the debt ceiling. But let me go back to what you started with, which is it looks like Speaker McCarthy has got his groove.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is entirely due to the groundwork and the conditions laid down by the 20 members of the House Freedom Caucus who... didn't vote for him, and it took them a week, the House Republicans a week, to elect the Speaker because they demanded certain reforms in the process. And I think what's happened is that the Speaker has been given some guardrails or some conditions that are allowing him to be very successful. And this deal is really a deal between the Speaker and the House Freedom Caucus. I think there were other people involved, but I think ultimately it came down to a negotiation between the leaders of the House Freedom Caucus and Speaker McCarthy. And so it has, you know, this country's broke. I mean, you know, our national debt has skyrocketed, and the House Republicans are saying, hey, we are actually going to try to do something about it.
Right. And, you know, McCarthy, even the media, I think, is reluctantly accepts the idea that McCarthy wants Biden to talk to him and to negotiate.
No, that's right.
Got something to talk to you about. And Biden claimed, "Oh yeah, I'm available." You know, we and yet Biden, then he gets up and he goes, you know, MAGA Republicans want to do that, and he won't negotiate. He just wants to get up there and disparage McCarthy and disparage the Republicans in Congress.
Yes, I think you know, he's all about. He says he's all about working together and compromise and moving to, you know, uniting the country. But you know, when he was presented with this package to raise the debt ceiling while at the same time cutting federal spending, and by the way, this isn't a lot of these deals in the past, and this one may turn out this way, but a lot of these things in the past, the savings have, the increase in the debt ceiling is real, and the spending cuts are phony, or they
right.
never occur. They're so far out in the future that they, you know, they'll be changed by the time we get there.
Exactly.
This deal actually has about, as far as I can tell, about $1 trillion of spending cuts in the first year. So this is real. I mean, okay, $1 trillion isn't what it used to be, but this is still real money we're talking about.
It's real money, is right. $1 trillion, wow. I didn't realize there were that much in spending cuts, which goes back to how much they really want to spend. And, you know, they always used to say that when we're going to cut, they really weren't going to, quote, cut. They were just going to cut the higher price down a little bit. You know what I mean? That these rates were scheduled to go higher anyway. But we'll cut back on some of the higher rates. But they never really cut back on the meat itself, the bone itself.
That's right. It's just the projected increases.
Projected. That. Thank
built
you.
Built into the budget. Yes. What they've already built into the budget. We'll
there you
trim
go.
That a little, if you say, and then of course a few years later they don't trim it, and then you know we're back where we. That's where how we got where we are now.
I'm sorry. No.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say. So getting to the gist of all of this. I mean, playing around like they are debt limit, this and that. Nobody wants to see the government default, although I wouldn't mind in certain ways seeing them not back down. Do you think that the Republicans will eventually back down at the very last moment, or are we really, really going to get some debt limitation?
Well, you know, everything is to play for here. I don't know, but you know, I think that they have presented a strong case that spending needs to be cut, that these green energy subsidies need to be cut, that the 87,000 new IRS agents need to be defunded, that you know, the student loan forgiveness needs to be cut back, and there's some other things, but. You know, I think they have a strong case to make that spending is out of control. We're becoming more and more insolvent with interest rates going up. Just paying for the interest on the national debt takes up a big chunk of money. And so I think going forward, they have a strong position. But, of course, again, they've got the Senate Democrats and President Biden, so they're not going to get this whole package.
No,
but I think with public support, they could get some or even most of it. And mm-hmm. I think everything is to play for. It depends on how well they sell it, how well the counterattack goes by the other side, by the big spenders, and we'll see. You know, I think the American people really should be saying, "Hey, this is a good step one. Don't go half a step back. Take this step, and then next year we'll take another step." I think that should be the message to members of Congress, and that will you know, if they know that there's public support for this, and if we go back to the green energy credits, the wind and solar subsidies and the EV, electric vehicle credits, when that bill was passed last summer, not a single Republican in the House or the Senate voted for it. So this deal, because the center of this deal is really getting rid of those green energy credits, they should have the unanimous support of the Republicans in Congress, because that's the center of the deal, is stuff that they've already voted against. So I think, you know, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, there'll be a huge media push by the corrupt mainstream corporate media to, you know, rubbish this and say that, you know, they all they want to do is shut down the government.
Right. Exactly. We're talking with Myron E. Bell. He is the Director for Energy and Environment at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're talking about the House GOP debt limit deal. And, Myron, take us through the constitutional process now. So they'll, let's say, pass this spending bill in the Congress, where all spending bills must originate. Must it go to the Senate, or would it go directly to the president's desk, where he may veto it or decide what to do or line item it? Or what's the process?
Well, at the end of the – ultimately, both houses of Congress have to pass the same bill, identical bill. The House will do that. They will pass this particular, their version, next week. It will then be up to the Senate to either not do anything and just say, sorry, we're not going to work with the House Republicans, or to offer their own version. You know, the White House and President Biden can be involved in those negotiations, but at the end of the day, the legislation to raise the debt ceiling, and we hope to cut federal spending as part of that package, goes to the president, and he can either sign it or veto it. And, you know, if he vetoes it and the government shuts down, it's really his fault. I want to say one thing about shutdowns. You know, shutdowns don't really shut down the federal government. They only shut down a piece of it. And the piece that would be that is shut down are called the non-essential part.
I would think it's rather refreshing if it did. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, you know, the fact that most federal workers haven't returned to their offices and are still working at home here in D.C., will anybody notice? I mean, you know, last time there was this huge, you know, the D.C. merchants were up in arms because they were facing, you know, empty tables in their restaurants and things like that. You know, the bars were empty. Well, because nobody was, but we've now put up with that with the shutdown for several years, and a lot of these businesses, restaurants and bars, have gone out of business. They're no longer there. They're boarded up. So, you know, I don't know that anybody will notice if there's a shutdown.
Myron, we might run more efficiently, actually, if you think about it.
Yes, because the
only thing that the government's not going to stop sending out the Social Security and welfare and checks and the like.
Right.
Those will still go out. So those are the essential services. We're not shutting down our military overseas.
Right.
We would almost get back to the actual reason for the federal government in the first place, or close to it.
Yeah.
So, which, of course, again, it begs the question of whether or not at the very last moment there might be some sort of a shutdown. What do you think?
Oh, it's too early to tell. You know, the Democrats and President Biden, they really want to precipitate a shutdown and then blame the Republicans for it. The Republicans don't want to have a shutdown because they're afraid they'll be blamed for it. So there's a game going on here, and we'll have to see, you know, who blinks first and how many times they blink. So,
you know, what would be nice is for McCarthy to stand up and say, well, if we need to shut down the government, which we won't really do, but we will shut down all kinds of things we might not need right away, I'm willing to go along with it. I wonder what the Democrats would say to that, you know. I know that the press would jump on him. You know, oh, hey, he's willing to shut the government down. He's willing to stop. He's willing to push women over cliffs and stuff. You know, I mean, crazy stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't think he'll do that, and the reason is because of what happened the first time there was a shutdown after the Republicans took over in 1995, took over the House and Senate, and we had President Clinton in the White House. The Congress sent Clinton a bill to keep the federal government operating, and he vetoed it, and then Newt Gingrich, the Speaker, took credit for it. Now, what they should have done is blamed President Clinton for shutting down the federal government by vetoing the bill, but instead Newt Gingrich said, "This is, you know, oh, this is great." Well, the public didn't like
that. No, I guess not.
So I don't think Speaker McCarthy will do that. I do think I think he's been given a lot of courage and a lot of support by the House Freedom Caucus and they're the 20 heroes who forced him to make concessions in the way the House works and go back to some kind of semblance of legislative order. And I think he's, you know, they're behind him now. And I think he needs every vote to get this kind of bill or any bill through the Congress. And so I think he and the Freedom Caucus are working out how to work together in an effective way. So
yeah.
I think this bill, regardless of what happens to it, is a very good sign. And I think, you know, as I said, we have everything to play for here. We'll have to see, who does what and when, and then we'll see if we can come out with it. The debt ceiling is going to be increased because the national debt keeps going up.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we'll have to see if they can actually get some real cuts in federal spending, if they can repeal some of these green energy subsidies, if they can take back the 87,000 Internal Revenue Service new hires. If they get part of it, I mean, I think this will be a big victory.
Yeah.
I hope they get all of it. That's what I'm working for. But
yeah, so when does this all come to a head? Sometime next week?
They're going to vote in the House. They're scheduled to vote next Wednesday, and then they go in recess for a week or so.
Uh-huh.
Or two. And then it will move over to the Senate. So, Treasury Secretary Yellen says that we're going to reach our debt limit soon. But I think the reality is it'll be sometime this summer.
Okay, so
that will then force some action.
Aha. Okay, so it's going to extend a while. Myron, always a pleasure to have you with us, and thank you so very much for coming on. Very, very interesting topic, and I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thanks, Paul. Have a good day.
And same to you. Myron Ebell. All right. We will take our break. When we come back, wow, we've got, what is Joe Biden thinking? He's got a plan to force good credit home buyers to subsidize the bad ones.
She kissed me like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is Marine Wildlife Artist and Conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Panhellenic News, on air live every Wednesday at 4 p.m. at 106.1 FM. Panhellenic News, radio program from the Panhellenic Federation of Florida. Wednesday at 4 p.m. Greek news, entertainment and culture.
Για νέα αρχή για τον ελληνισμό, μείνετε συντονισμένοι.
Stay tuned.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Going to have a good weekend. We've got beautiful weather here in Tampa Bay, I can tell you. Very nice. I may maybe a bit more rain needed, but enjoying the sun and the low humidity. So many critics are blasting some new rules from the Biden administration that would force good credit home buyers to subsidize buyers with poor credit. What is going on here? Why? I mean, the whole concept of responsibility goes right out the window with socialism. I mean, if you can't see that, you know, I mean, people work all their lives. They finally get enough money to put down on a
well,
house.
That's the way.
They go and they borrow them, you know, because the bank says, you know, you got good credit. You're a hard worker. You got a decent amount of income. Sure, we'll lend you the money.
But that's their way. Yes, you make a lot of money. Now give me some of that.
It's like...
They're entitled to it. You don't understand. And the ones that love it are the ones that are getting entitled.
Yeah.
They love it. People that are paying their bills are not loving it.
Yeah. Do you remember the three Chicken Little and the and they built, or was it the pigs that built the three different homes? And the one was very, very careful to build his home out of brick, make sure it was sturdy and everything. The other two were just screwing around until the last moment, right? And so then the storm comes and their house is collapsed. They're banging on the door to get into the brick house because that one, the guy that, you know, did it the right way. That's what this reminds me of. You know, let's go to the one that knows what he's doing here and, you know, has been keeping everything afloat.
Let's go to a guy on the phone.
A guy on the phone?
Yeah.
Do we have somebody?
Yeah.
All right. Who do we have?
Listen, I'm quitting my job, and I'm going to let them support me, because let the people with money take care of me.
Right. You know, this is ESP, or whatever it is. I was thinking about you today. We're talking. This is Master Barber, Andrew Ceresi. He's our buddy. Longtime sponsor of the show and a great human being as well. I don't have to tell you that if you know anything about him. But go ahead, sound off, Andrew. What you worried about?
Paul, you know, it amazes me right now. If you really think about it, you got China taking over the world. They're ready to attack Taiwan. You got Russia and the Ukraine. We've given them $300 billion, right?
Right.
We're on the verge of World War III. And what is the country worried about our politics? They're worried about the transgenders being able to play women's sports. Yep. I mean, come on. Yep. Did you see in California now they want to rate your electric bill on your income?
Yeah.
I got no income. I want free electricity.
There you go. It's the same thing. For subsidizing people that have bad or no credit whatsoever to get into homes. It's like we're trying to completely destroy capitalism.
Why don't those people just move to China?
Because they can't get away with it there.
Move to China.
I'll pay their way.
They'd have them in the back of the building within 10 minutes. They either go to work or they're gone. Are you kidding me?
I know.
But they're pushing this stuff so much on us. Socialism, transgenderism. Hey, as far as I'm concerned right now, Satan's got a hold of this country. They're trying to get rid of Christianity. Everything, Paul, come on. Look at what's going on.
I mean, 30, 40 years ago, could you imagine then thinking that this is what would happen to our country?
No.
We are in the worst possible shape we have, in my opinion, without a doubt, have been in since probably even worse than being attacked at Pearl Harbor.
I'm going to say the Depression of 29, buddy.
Yeah. I think so.
I absolutely think so.
We're going through hypocrisy like we've never seen it before in both parties. One does one thing
question.
And then it accuses the other one of doing
That's
the other
true.
Thing. And then we have people trying to pull it out of their behinds. Less than 24 hours ago, you hear somebody say, oh, well, they're telling our kids, I can't, because somebody wrote an email that we're not allowed to read that book in school. Well, somebody wrote an email and said, take those statues down.
Oh, the whole concept of what our country was founded on, patriotism, personal responsibility, pride in yourself, the generic family, all of the things that brought us to the top and made people want to come to our country. the freedom of all of that, right?
If you're looking at the self-pride in the America today, you can hang it up. Look at the way the American people dress. They don't even care about themselves. When we were young, you were dressed up. Your parents made sure you got dressed up to go to school. You looked presentable. They didn't want anybody to look down on your family.
That's exactly correct.
You remember back in the day when you used to get dressed up to go on an airplane?
Watch the old movies of the parents or of the adults in the 50s walking down the street. The men were wearing suit coats and ties. The women were wearing white gloves and, you know, a little hat. They looked, I mean, take a picture of 1955 as an example of, you know, the city of New York, okay, walking down, and take a picture of this in 2023 of that same spot, city of New York with people, and you can see the difference right there.
It's amazing. You know, you go to Europe, Paul, the people still dress nice, even the kids. You want to see how the American people dress? Go stand out of Walmart parking lot for an hour.
There you go.
They do not care. They have no self-pride in themselves. They're not responsible for anything they do. They want everybody else to take care of them.
Yeah. And the Biden administration and the Democrats and socialists, they like it.
Paul, you know what you were saying about the Republicans and the Democrats, you know, throwing things back and forth to each other? They're playing good cop, bad cop with us, Paul. You still got your rhino Republicans in there working with the Democrats trying to get this agenda passed through that they're doing, okay? And they're playing good cop, bad cop. Let's face it, half of the Republicans stink just like the Democrats.
There's so much behind the door dealing that we never see.
Well, we need to start seeing it.
Well, here's something that's going to perk you up, Andrew. President Biden is preparing to announce his reelection campaign next week. And as if we're going to be shocked and surprised that he's going to be running again, I'm not sure that he's going to make it to November of 2024, but you never know. Go ahead.
First, you say he's running. The guy can't even walk.
Well, that's true.
Okay, let alone run.
That's true. He can run as long as there's not a flight of stairs in front of him.
I should have said he's going to announce he is stumbling for president next week.
Where is he going? You know, and what amazes me the most, they say 37% of the people say that they're doing it. I can't even say him. I got to say there. Okay, are doing a good job. It's the Democrat administration. What good job? What have they done so far except take this country down?
They've overspent. They've raised inflation. They've cut back on the drilling for fracking and drilling for oil. They're spending money like a drunken sailor all over the place, including overseas.
Okay, Paul, what they're trying to bring in is their globalist agenda and socialism here, like the European countries.
No, they're well into it.
And they're doing a hell of a job, I can tell you that. And if the American people put up with this, what is wrong with them? But you know what, Paul? These kids have been indoctrinated for, two or three decades now? They don't know any better.
That's right.
We closed a blind eye to how our kids were being educated, thinking the government was doing a good job because we trusted them. I can tell you, my cousin Michael never trusted the government, and I believe him these days.
Yeah. Well, you know, for instance, my hometown of Chicago, they get rid of the Lori Lightfoot, who was doing a horrible job. Crime is worse than it's ever been, et cetera. Things are falling apart. And then they elect somebody that might be even more liberal than she was. Now, so that's a perfect example of showing you how uneducated the voting populace is, particularly in cities.
There's no question about it. Okay, and you know, I hear people. I had a guy come in the other day tell me how the electoral college system messes up our voting. And I thought, are you out of your mind? I said, if it wasn't for the electoral system, we would sit there and we'd have the three major cities in the country electing our president.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yes, I do. I do know. California, New York. Yep. I know.
And then he was arguing the point with me. He says, well, you know, the elector can go in there and vote whoever they want. They don't have to vote for the majority of what the people put in, which is true. They don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how do you guide that? You know, normally they do, but there are cases when they do vote the opposite of what the populace wanted.
They generally are charged with voting for the majority in their state when they go to the Electoral College. But I agree with you, if it wasn't for them, you know, the people of California and New York, you know, all those people with all of their electoral their representatives, et cetera, they would take over. In a popular vote situation.
And you think we're in trouble now? You haven't seen nothing if that happened.
Yeah. No, I think
they
would
should make these big cities just govern themselves. Don't even have them part of our country.
Yeah, well, there's been some talk, especially in Texas, of some, you know, a lot of people saying, you know what, maybe we should form our own country.
That's right.
You know, I'm kind of trying to talk California into doing it myself.
They should. There's no question. And New York, the same thing. I feel bad for people like my brother that live in, you know, outskirts of New York City, the other parts of New York State.
Yeah.
Because they're being penalized for New York City itself. I mean, look at the governor they got there, what she does. They're out of their minds.
Yeah, it's the same thing in Illinois. Outside of Chicago, you know, and the suburban Chicago is becoming more progressive. But outside of that, the rest of the state's pretty, you know, it's pretty conservative, actually.
That's right.
They just don't have enough people.
Speaking of Chicago, I heard the most ridiculous thing the other day. You know that Walmart's pulling out of Chicago completely.
A whole bunch of stores, yes. And Portland also, by the way.
City officials in Largo in Chicago came out and said the reason for their poverty and their gun violence are places like Walmart pulling out and forcing the people not to have jobs and being on the street with guns and killing people. It's all their fault.
I'm glad you brought that up, Ed. It just so happens I have a story here, and you'll be interested in this, Andrew. The mayor of Chicago, I guess he's the mayor-elect. His name is Brandon Johnson. He is putting the blame on violence and poverty in the Windy City on big corporations.
Yes.
Listen to this. Quote, we have large corporations. 70% of large corporations in Chicago and in Illinois did not pay a corporate tax. So he's going to say, here's the deal. And I wish Republicans would stand up to this one when they say, these corporations aren't paying us anything. They're getting away with more. You know what? If it wasn't for the corporations hiring all of the people that have jobs and all of the people that work in the corporations, including all the bigwigs that are chairmen and CFOs and all the other things, they're all personally paying taxes.
And what happens if you put high taxes on those corporations? What are they going to do?
They're going to move. They're
exactly.
They're going to change their spots. They're going to downsize. They're going to leave.
Well, isn't that what Biden did? Didn't Trump have he lowered the corporate tax from 28% to 20%?
In fact, he lowered taxes on the middle class. In fact, he lowered taxes across the board. Yes. And what does that do? It keeps money in the pockets of people who then go out and spend the money to keep our economy going. And again, you know, these corporations, if it wasn't for them hiring all of these hundreds of thousands of people, you know, who then, you know, have a job, who they themselves pay taxes, what are we trying to do? Kill the goose that lays the golden egg here?
We're always trying to do that. You know what amazes me, okay? When we were young, the corporations in this country were producing revenue. They were manufacturing a product that they were selling the product. Today, the corporations we have in this country, what are they? They're service corporations, okay? You got the maid services, you got restaurant corporations. You understand? They're not producing nothing. They are not producing
a damn thing. We're not manufacturing, is what you're saying.
Okay, that's right. And it's simple fourth grade geography. Okay, not geography. Yeah, fourth grade geography, that the strength of this country was based on its ability to produce. China is the one producing now, Paul. And they're producing like crazy. They are the strength of the world today. We're not. We're not even close anymore. Yeah. We don't produce anything.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you.
Like I say, if you can prove to me how many corporations we have producing in this country compared to what it used to be in the 60s, show me. But our corporations today produce absolutely nothing.
Yeah, you're right. Andrew, it is always a pleasure.
Well, it's been fun talking.
I want you to be with us on a regular basis again when you get a chance.
I'll get there as soon as my wife is walking again, buddy.
Yeah, how is she doing, by the way? He's talking about his beautiful wife, Nicole. Go ahead.
The poor thing's been through a double hip replacement. We've been going through this since last August. And she's finally had the second one done last Friday, and she's on her way to recovery. And hopefully by July or August, Andrew will be back.
Oh, great. Well, please send her our love and tell her we need you back.
She got two new hips, right?
Yeah, two.
Yeah, another 50,000 miles on her, at least.
Yeah, there you go.
She's good
they
for
come with a warranty.
Years.
Yeah.
Lifetime warranty.
There you go.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, you guys. Take care. Have a good weekend.
All right, buddy.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we just go right into some of these stories that we've got here, Ed. I don't think we need to take a break at this point, but I did want to tell you, you know that we have a new Republican announcing for the presidency, Larry Elder. Now, maybe some of you don't know who he is. He is a black Republican. He's a conservative radio talk show host. He's a former candidate for governor in California, and he has announced he's running for president. I think didn't we just get one of the Kennedys to announce?
I was going to ask you, is that
Robert?
That's true Kennedy blood, right?
That's true.
Son. Can you not tell?
Of course, by his voice.
No, I mean their looks.
Oh, they all look like Kennedys. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be racist to say they all look alike. But
Kennedy features. Look. Yes,
you know the jawline, the high forehead,
the whole bit. Robert Kennedy Jr. Robert Kennedy.
He's just
Jr.
running on namesake, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Believe me, he wouldn't have a shot if it wasn't that.
If I were him, I wouldn't.
But he's already got 13% approval.
Really?
That's actually higher than.
And what does he do?
Biden in the Democratic list of presidential contenders.
Well, the couch dog's got a higher approval rating than Joe Biden right now.
So. Yeah, the guy's actually doing well. Let me just get back to Larry Elder for a second. He announced yesterday that he's running. He says this, America is in decline, but this decline is not inevitable. We can enter a new American golden age, but we must choose a leader who can bring us there. That's why I'm running. He's a lifelong conservative commentator. He's a syndicated radio show host. And so there you go. You know, one more. We've already got Nikki Haley running.
Yeah.
And I think DeSantis, although he hasn't technically announced yet.
I mean, how much more do you really need to know? I mean, you know, appearance-wise. I mean, he's always in Europe now, isn't he?
Who?
DeSantis is going over to South Korea and places, isn't he, this week?
Oh, he's all over the place. I wouldn't be surprised. He's doing everything that a presidential
exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd be very surprised if he's not. All right. Before we get to our top 10, we've got a couple of minutes here to talk a little sports. Ed, let's start with the hockey. Our beloved
turned it off.
Bay Lightning.
I turned it off. Got
shellacked.
Yeah.
I was watching the entire game with a bunch of buddies.
They gave a shellacking, and then they got a shellacking.
That's right.
But here's the deal. People can say, oh, we give a... But the thing is, they went and stole one from them up there. That's the bottom line.
That's what I had to think, and
so,
that's what we all thought. We were all commiserating after that, and they're back to Tampa Bay for a game, for the next two games.
Saturday and then
starting Saturday
Monday.
And tomorrow. Yes, Saturday and Monday. Sounds right. All right. Now... Is Tom Brady going to stay retired in football?
I would think so.
What's this thing with... He's sort of flirting with the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, but I...
What? I mean, I don't know that he's really flirting with them, but somebody posed the question to him about playing in Miami, and he said, there's a lot of people on the Miami Dolphins I really like,
Last year, we learned at 44, a young 44, that... In the offseason, he had to train a lot harder to keep that body up. So if he's truly retired, he won't be working out. And believe me, if he picks up a football somewhere, there's going to be people coming out of the woodwork saying he's coming back. So he hasn't been seen doing any kind of training. And here we are in April. And You got the draft coming up next week, isn't it? Next week? I think it's next Thursday. So you have the NFL draft coming up. Well, that'll be this Thursday. You want to make sure team that you're interested in knows that, hey, don't draft a quarterback. I'm coming out.
That's true.
And the only thing
he's got to make his move.
I think it was brought up because Tua, the current quarterback in Miami, said that he flirted with a couple of times retiring last year because of the concussions.
Okay.
So that came out, and then people said, "Oh, well, maybe Tom Brady's going to read that and say, hey, maybe I should come out." You know.
Okay.
So fair. At this point, nothing is pointing.
Okay.
To him coming out.
Okay. Time for you to get over to the drums.
And go Rays are up tonight.
Okay.
They're at home against the White Sox.
My beloved White Sox. Oh, they'll probably feast on the White Sox.
Hope so.
We'll see. All right. The top 10 richest people currently. This is Forbes magazine's updated list. I want to see, Ed, if you'll know who is number one.
Yeah, like I hang out with that crowd.
So here we go. Number 10. Steve Ballmer. He is, his source of wealth is Microsoft. He is a 67-year-old man. He's worth $80.7 billion with a B.
See, he's 67.
Yeah.
Well, there's still hope for me, then.
There is. Okay. Absolutely. You can still make your fortune.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9. I did not know this guy. Mukesh Ambani.
Yeah, Mukesh.
Yeah, your buddy.
I call him Keshi.
He is in, he's in India, from India. He's worth $83.4 billion, and his source of wealth is all over the place. They call it diversified.
He calls me all the time wanting me to extend my warranty.
He's only 65. He's only 65. Number 8, Carlos Slim. You've heard of him. Carlos Slim from Mexico. Listen to this. He's worth $93 billion. He better start spending it. He's 83 years old.
Mm.
Okay.
I'm sure he's got a wife that'll help him out.
Well, actually, his wife's name is Heidi. Or Slim. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's not right. Carlos and his family are worth $93 billion. Okay. All right. Number 7, Michael Bloomberg. Mm-hmm. We know Michael. Out of New York. He's 81. He's worth $94.5 billion. Number 6. Good old Bill Gates is still making the top 10 after all these years. He's 67. He's $104 billion wealthy. And, of course, he's one of the founders of Microsoft. Number 5, Warren Buffett.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know how old he is? Listen to this. He's 92.
He'll be in the top 10 after he's dead, for crying out loud. He's got that much money.
$106 billion, Berkshire Hathaway. Number 4, Larry Ellison. Now, this is the guy that was, I think, the founder of Oracle.
Okay.
All right. He's 78 years old. He's worth $107 billion. Number 3, Jeff Bezos, Amazon, right? He's 59. He's young. $114 billion. You think he could spend all of it? I don't think so.
Mm.
All right. Number 2, his rocket just exploded. Elon Musk.
On purpose.
You think?
He did, yeah.
On purpose?
Well,
I don't think they would expose it. But anyway, Elon Musk, you know, he's only 51. He's worth $180 billion. He's got Tesla. He's got Twitter. He's got SpaceX, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Number 1, who do you think?
I have no idea.
I wouldn't know. Bernard Arnault and family. He's 74 years old. He's out of France. He's worth, listen to this, $211 billion. Just real quickly, French luxury goods and drugs, cosmetics. You make that much money doing that. All right. Thank you so much. We will be back on Monday. Please remember, freedom does work.
Up in her eyes.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
You're listening to the TAN Talk Radio Network.